and Danske Møbler Furniture.
Well, on the huddle this evening, quite a few getting in touch. Mike says, did you note that Stuart Nash mentioned nothing about who will lead after the election? Labour have nobody to blame but themselves when you select a man who can't win his own electorate. Twice, might I add, by big margins, then how on earth was he ever going to win over the country? And the leader of any political party has to be a potential and credible PM. Labour has nobody in that class. Joseph Bargani and Matthew Hooton on the huddle this evening. Some pretty harsh criticism coming in there. We know, well, Matthew Hooton has said to us that Andrew Little will step down. It's just a case of seeing whether Jacinda Ardern will take over, or should it be someone else? Jacinda Ardern, we're told, doesn't want that role. Josie, post-election then, whoever goes into that role and takes the fall, if you like, goes into this election rather, who then leads beyond that?
Well, whoever will face the challenge that you've got to change the party. So part of the problem is that they're on the one hand cuddling up to the Greens, falling over themselves to look like the cast of Les Miserables, appealing to a bunch of urban liberals who want to see New Zealand as a terrible place where we're all desperately unhappy. So, anti-trade, anti-TPP and sugar tax, all this stuff. So you end up alienating the very people that Labour was created to represent, your conservative social base, your working people who, on the whole, in New Zealand, are Pacific Islanders or Māori, who are worried about jobs, wages, and the price of groceries, for goodness sake. So, on the other hand, Labour's been sounding like the blandest thing in the menu, stale old bread roll, calling for bland things like task forces and inquiries and going on about Todd Barclay when everybody else, really couldn't give a damn. So I think whoever is the leader needs to just take the party back to its roots, stop behaving like a left bloc and start behaving like, it's okay for people to be worried about poverty and worried about inequality in New Zealand, and many people are. It's okay for them not to support Matiria's call that it's okay to break the law. And as Phil Quinn said, this is not a left-right issue. This is a right or wrong issue. And Labour could be the party of working people, because anyone wants to have a job.
I think this caucus has a grave responsibility tomorrow. This is a 100-year-old institution, and they are the custodians of it. And it's done a lot for New Zealand, introduced the welfare state, did the economic reforms. It is a very important institution in our society. It is the party of Savage, Fraser, Nash, Kirk, Longy and Clark. And if they allow Andrew Little to take them to the election, they are at risk of coming third or even fourth. And that would be a disgraceful thing for that caucus to do as the custodians of the New Zealand Labour Party.
All right, we're going to move on. They've got 50 days to the election. Whew, got a few billboards they're going to have to change, aren't they? We shall see and watch this with interest. Let's move on, because the government will replace the decile system for schools with a new so-called risk model. Now, funding will go to those who are considered to be disadvantaged or at risk of being disadvantaged. Our listeners have had a bit to say on this with Kerry and Mark today.
People have actually been a little jealous of decile ones, and this is more internally in a school. A principal of a high decile school might be a little jealous of a decile one because the money's easier to come by.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that they basically are going on the parents, but they're not sort of looking at the other areas like, raising by step parents and grandparents and cousins and whatever. They're just honing into parents.
I personally would be happier to see, and I've only been into the education market for 6 months, but one of the most common things coming up is, where are the teachers for all these kids that are coming through?
Well, where indeed. So much on this today. A little bit confusing, I have to say. I spoke to Nikki Kay earlier. I don't know what happens when you move from this decile system to an at-risk model, and Nikki Kay couldn't really determine, Matthew, quite how the funding was going to be divvied up or what they were going to do or whether there'd be any change, in fact. It's just tinkering for tinkering before an election.
Well, I was press secretary to the Minister of Education 25 years ago, I think now, when the decile system was introduced. And it was our very best effort to try to help the most disadvantaged kids in New Zealand. It was a National Party initiative. And I think it's done quite a good job. It's probably now, time for it to be replaced by a more sophisticated way of funding schools. But just two things that are absolutely important. One is, it must be utterly transparent So we have to be able to know, and the minister has to be able to tell us how it works. And the second thing is there must be no ministerial or bureaucratic discretion. It must be a situation where the rules are set and then a mathematical formula delivers the money to the schools. Because if the minister can't guarantee that, then we're in a world where ministers start to decide how much funding each school can get, and that is a recipe for corruption.
Josie, what do you make of what Nikki Kaye announced today?
Well, that's right. I think what Matthew said about the decile system, that it was set up to solve a very difficult problem, which is that the schools that most need funding are often in low-income areas. And so, you know, the decile system was an attempt to go, this is a low-income area, and we'll send the funding to these schools because it's in that area. And in the end, what the decile system ended up telling you was who your child sits next to, rather than the quality of the teachers or even the quality of the school. So all these unintended consequences have emerged down the line, not to mention the stigma that gets attached with a low decile school and a high decile school, and then you get the white flight and so on. So there's been all these problems, and this is an attempt to solve those. And I think that's a good thing, and I think that will get the support of many. What's not clear to me is if it's a risk index, is it following the kid who's, you know, a sort of very targeted social investment model, is it following the kid? So if that child leaves one school, goes to another school, presumably the funding follows that child.
Yes.
And so I'm, as you say,
I tried to get Nikki Kaye to clarify that. It was a bit confusing, actually. Does it follow the child? Is it still based on the suburb? You know, what sort of risks? What constitutes risk? She mentioned, you know, cyclical beneficiary dependency, that sort of thing. But the devil's going to be in the detail, I think.
Yeah, but you know, a good move to deal with some of these unintended consequences of a system which has created, you know, some of these problems. Although its motivation is absolutely spot on, which is the schools that need it most, with the kids that have the most need, that's where the funding should go.
Josie Bigani, Matthew Hooton on the huddle this evening. Thank you so much. It's 6 minutes to 6:00.